bring you the sacrifice of praise this morning. We do the best we can with what we've got to bring glory to a God who deserves so much more than we could ever put together, Lord. We bring you glory and honor to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, the one who was and who is to come. We declare your lordship over our lives. We declare your lordship in this place. No matter who says or does what or thinks whatever, Jesus Christ is Lord over all. Regardless of the opinions of men, regardless of what I say, of what others think, of what false teachers say, of what the accuser says, Jesus Christ is Lord over all, and his kingdom will have no end, and he's coming again to rule and to reign, and we honor you for that, Lord. Thank you that we can do that now, Lord. The only thing we're going to be able to do in the new heaven and the new earth is to pray praise you and to worship you and to rule with you and to reign with you. But thank you, Lord. We have the privilege as your sons and daughters to be able to do that here and now, Father. We praise you and we bless you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for life. Lord, thank you that we could be seated here, that we could be standing here. Thank you that we can hear with our ears. Holy Spirit, teach us to hear with our spirit. Teach us to hear with our heart. I pray, Lord, Holy Ghost, that you give to us discernment, the mind of Christ. As we discuss your word this morning, Lord God, make it alive to each one of us. Help us to see where and how this one message is applicable to us. Help us to see where and how it fits into our lives. And show us, Lord God, where and how we need to change, so that you can get more glory from what we do on this earth. In Jesus' precious name, and the people of the Most High God said, amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated, ladies and gentlemen, as you get yourselves comfortable and ready to hear what the Spirit of God has to say to us this morning. To our first-time visitors, cheers. What I'm drinking is holy water. Yes, that's right. In this church, we have holy water. What we do is we take normal municipal water and we boil the hell right out of it. So, we've been busy with a sermon series called God's House of Prayer, but we're not going to do that because tomorrow is a special day. Tomorrow is what's known to many as the Day of the Covenant, Gelofte Dag. Wie van julle weet daarvan? So, what happened yesterday on the 16th of December in 1838, a group of people got together. Colette reminded me that it's tomorrow. That's what I said. Yesterday. You see, she'd say to me, you don't listen. I'm trying to preach here, baby. So what happened tomorrow? What happened tomorrow? What happened on the 16th of December, 1838? A group of people at Besef, we need deliverance, we need protection, we need salvation. Ons het 'n wonderwerk nodig. That's what happened. Last year we went into the history. I'm not going to go into that. But that's what happened. They made a promise to God. They entered into a covenant. Everybody say covenant. Covenant. They entered into a covenant with God. And they said, God, if you do this, we're going to do da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And history teaches us that God did indeed do this. But the people did not do da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Maar dis nie verlede. Weet jy wat ek en jy daaromtrent kan doen? Net mooi niks. Ons kan hier staan en vingerwys vir hulle en sê, ja, dis as gevolg van, you guys didn't do this, that's why we're sitting with a mess we are in the country. Possibly. Maar hulle is nie hier so om hulle self te verdedig. So ek gaan nie achter hulle praat nie. History will do that for us. We're going to talk to us because we are here this morning. This morning's message is called Covenant God, Covenant Man. Covenant God, Covenant Man. The scripture reference this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. So if you're following in your Bible, on your laptop, whatever, on the screen, read it with me, please. If you're there, say, preach it. And if you're not there, say, where's Deuteronomy? It's in the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8 reads as follows. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Thank you, Lord, that your word will achieve its purposes this morning. You watching over it, that is why. And thank you that it will achieve the fruits of righteousness in our lives as we apply it this morning. In Jesus' name. There's this phenomenon, I'm told, called embedded technology. Embedded technology is computer technology and computer software that is in any electronic component. For example, LEDs today, you get COB LEDs, which means chip on board, a little chip that means when you flick the switch, stuff's going to happen and you're going to get this kind of light. Any electrical appliance has that. You turn a dial, you turn a switch, it has embedded technology embedded into the circuitry of that particular component. Why is that important? It's because it's almost as if that thing has been made and designed with a covenant. It started as a vision, an idea in somebody's pup. They then done some kind of drawing or diagram of it, some kind of a computer generation of it, an image of it, CGI or something like that, or software program to visualize it, and then it was manufactured. So it has conditions, it has a purpose, and it has rules that govern it. So in other words, as die krachtstrom inkom, the electricity can't go this way and do its own thing like Eskom. That electricity has to go a certain way through a certain component to achieve a certain goal. That's all wonderful. How many of you love technology? When it works. And when it does not work, then Christians start speaking in tongues. And it's like that. When God makes a covenant with man, things go according to the plan. Blessings follow obedience. You cannot escape obedience. We've preached on that. You cannot escape blessings when there's obedience. But when there's no obedience, So what happens when man does not keep his covenant with God? What happens when man does not keep his covenant with God? So I want to give you some practical examples this morning how it has been working in my life. So you get into your car and you turn the key and nothing. Something's just not working anymore. Or ladies, you've got a very, very important meeting at work or something. You've got to get into the office or some special do, some fancy thing. And you've got to dress up and you've got to put your war paint on, oil of delay that delays wrinkles and all sorts of things. And you've got to do your hair and you get the hair dry and you flick the switch. Nothing happens. And it's like that. So let's make it a little bit more serious. So you've got to go somewhere in the traffic. You get into your vehicle and you're traveling along the R59 at 120 plus watt because you're driving enthusiastically and you need to apply brakes and you trappy brick. In the spiritual realm, that's what happens when we as people break covenant with God. God keeps his side of the covenant, but when we don't, there's trouble. Yeah, I think Vickers is laughing because you're going to end up at his shop fixing your car. Okay. Folks, listen to this. God is only a covenant God because it is impossible for God to lie or to break his word. People say God can do anything. There's a few things God cannot do. One of them is deny himself and lie. It is impossible for him to do that. So God is only a covenant God. Bedoelende, hy is nie 'n God van maybe, perhaps, if, we'll see. Dis of ja of nee. Dis of lewe of dood. Dis of reg of verkeerd. Dis of his way. That's how it is. And I'm going to prove it to you from the scriptures. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, the Bible says this of God. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and he will not do? Met ander woorde, het hy iets gesê, gaan iets doen, en dan doen hy dit nie? You know what we call that in South Africa? A ja broer. Ja broer, ek sal jou daar sien. Ja broer, ek gaan jou daar kry. Ja broer, ek gaan dit vir jou doen. En het gebeur nie. Jy is dan 'n ja broer. I want to say this much. You know, our name is only as good as our reputation, and our reputation is only as good as our word. If God is a God that keeps His word, surely as His people, we need to keep our word. So if you give your word to somebody, just honor your word. Now I'm going to get really to some offensive. In Afrikaans, it's aanstootlik. Some people might get offended by this. So get ready. I'm warning you. There's no difference between a liar and a man who doesn't keep his word, because neither of them convey the truth. Besigheidsmanne, hoe klink dit? Never mind business people. When I got here, and I didn't know the service providers in the area because I come from Joburg. I got here and phoned people for service providers. They said, "Yeah, I want to phone you back. I've been here 20 years now and they're still phoning me back." I don't know about you, but I can't do business with a person like that. If your word is not your bond, if you do not keep your word, dan sê jy mos eintlik 'n leienaar. But I'll start preaching a bit more positive now. So God, it's impossible for Him to lie. It says He's not a man that He should lie. Or has He spoken and He will not make it good? The NLT says, God is not a man, so He does not lie. He's not human, so He does not change His mind. In the sense that He doesn't change His Father heart of integrity. Because there are places in the Bible where God has indeed and does change His mind. For example, when He's decided, hy gaan almal uitwis, dan besluit hy gaan genadig wees, and He doesn't destroy them. Because the Bible says that mercy triumphs over judgment. We see that in the book of James. Alright? And then Titus chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And then last, but by no means least, Hebrews 6 and verse 18. It says that by two immutable things, in other words, two things that cannot change, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. I wanted to read those verses to you so that we can understand this morning that God cannot lie. He cannot lie. And when God enters into a covenant, He cannot and will not break it, because it is impossible for Him to go back on His word. Can you say amen? Enter us into the equation. We come into the equation. And God, in His wisdom and in His love, op 'n manier sien hy dit goed genoeg om in 'n verbond met ons in te tree, wetende Ons kan ons kant nie bring nie. And yet He still does that. What kind of a God is that? It's like you're going to the dealership and you need new transport, whatever form it has, four wheels, two wheels, if it's self-powered or jy moet hom trap. And you buy this thing and you just know it's hy gaan nie werk nie. It's going to cost you. It's going to change life for you. But you still go ahead and you buy that thing. It's like that with God. He knew we were going to let Him down, and He still bought us with the blood of His Son, Jesus. He saw it good enough. For Him it was good enough. These people are going to let me down. But you know what? They're worth it, because I'm going to teach them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to care for them. There's going to be consequences of their disobedience. But you know what? I'm still going to love them. I'm still going to teach them. I'm still going to care for them. And God saw it fit to enter into covenant with us. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I'm glad this morning that God entered into covenant with us. Because if He didn't, the cross of Calvary would not have happened over 2020 years ago. The cross of Calvary wouldn't have happened. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit wouldn't have happened. We wouldn't have received the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. We wouldn't be experiencing the things that we are today if God didn't choose to keep His covenant. You see, Jesus had a choice when it got difficult for Him, to either keep the covenant or just bail out. But He didn't. He stuck the course. He stayed to the path and He finished till the end. So, the question is, my brother, my sister, this morning, are you a covenant man? I say that in the sense of mankind, but so that everybody feels included. Are you a covenant woman, my sister? Are you a covenant man, or are you a covenant woman? So there are seven main covenants in the scripture. Just a little bit of theology this morning before we get practical. There are seven main covenants in the scripture, and it pertains to the person with whom God entered into a covenant. So there's the Adamic covenant with Adam, the Noahic covenant with Noah, Abrahamic covenant with Abraham, Mosaic covenant with Moses, Davidic covenant with David, the new covenant, and the everlasting covenant. And the first time the word covenant is ever used in scripture is in Genesis 6 and verse 18, where Noah is speaking to God is speaking to Noah. And the word means to cut. It means to cut, because what happened was, in the scripture, there were several ways that they entered into a covenant with each other. They'd done certain symbols or rituals to indicate a promise. How many of you know of a pinky swear? Pinky swear is like friends enter into pinky swear, and you hook pinkies like, you're going to be my bestie forever, yay! And then she steals your boyfriend, and then you want to kill her. She's no longer your bestie. So that's like, that's the example that came to mind, forgive me. So they'd done certain rituals to symbolize the covenant. The most solemn form of covenant that we're going to look at this morning is a blood covenant. It didn't get any more serious than this. It didn't get any more binding than this. It didn't get any more holy than this. You could not enter into any greater level of commitment than a blood covenant. So, before I got married, what was my best friend up until that time, his name is Brett, he's living flat out for the Lord these days, praise God, he's a disciple, we had the privilege of leading him and his wife to Jesus. When we were growing up and we'd watch the Cowboys and Indians movies, and the Indians, the Red Indians, whether the Shawnee, the Pawnee, the Cheyenne, whoever it was that the Cowboys were trying to kill, they would enter into blood covenants with each other. And in the movies, they take like a big knife or whatever, and they take their hands and they cut it, and it's all like, and trying to act all brave, and they cut and the blood flows, and the other covenant partner would do the same, and they'd lock hands like this. Leon, lock hands with me, my brother. This like swear, yeah. They'd enter into covenant. Their blood would mix. Their blood would mix. It was a symbol of the blood covenant. So Brett and I, we decided we're going to be blood brothers. Long before any of us knew anything about covenant or brotherhood or Jesus, we knew about Jesus, but we wanted nothing to do with him at that stage. We entered into a blood covenant with each other. We cut our thumbs, and we mixed our blood with each other. And by the grace of God, today he's my blood brother, because he lives for Jesus. And this blood covenant is what we're going to be talking about. So that's what covenant means. Covenant means cutting something. So what they used to do is they used to take a sacrificial animal that would pay the price. This is the animal that would give up it, wouldn't give up its life. It had no choice in the matter. It was captured. It was selected and decided, ons gaan jou slag, jou bloed gaan vloei, hierna gaan ons jou eet, miskien, of nie. We're animals, right? And they cut the animal in half. And they laid the two halves of the animals at a certain place. The blood was sprinkled in certain places. And both parties that were entering into the covenant came and walked between the two pieces of the sacrificial animal. And that was the blood covenant. Are you starting to see the picture? God is a God of covenant. God is a God of covenant. And one day, he saw it fit to take the lamb, the spotless lamb of God. And unlike the animals used in the covenants of the past, the animals het nie 'n keuse gehad nie. This lamb had a choice. This lamb could have chosen, no, I don't want to go through this because they're not going to listen to me. They're not going to obey me. They're going to blaspheme me. They're going to deny me. They're going to say they love me and they're going to live like the world. They're going to compromise. They're going to hang on to the world while wanting one foot in the kingdom and another foot in the world. But he decided, I'm going to do it anyway. And he let himself be crucified and nailed to the cross, and he let his blood flow so that his blood could be between us and God. Jesus on the cross became like us so that we could become like him. He died like we should have so that we can live like he lives. And that's this kind of God that we serve this morning. This covenant God. My brother, my sister, how are you doing in terms of your covenant that you've made with God? If you're seated here this morning, and there's ever been a time in your life where you have said the sinner's prayer, ek het my hart vir die Here gegee. Dis fantasties, maar wat van die res van jou lewe, broer? If you've ever gotten to that place and the Holy Spirit has made you born again, I'm not talking about some hotshot preacher with a microphone that souped up your emotions, that got you to make some emotional commitment and altar sometime, and you left the building and nothing changed. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if the Spirit of God has made your spirit born again, and you seated here this morning, and you know you've entered into covenant with this covenant God. How is your side of the covenant looking this morning? Are you keeping your covenant with God? I want to submit to you that this year, not unlike any other years, but for me it seems particularly, especially, specifically, like deliberately almost, that this year we've sat under the trials and the tribulations and the pain and the suffering and the consequences of a world that has gone mad on sinful lust and corruption and wickedness, with our own sinfulness thrown into the mix. We're sitting under that. And you might be sitting here this morning, my brother, my sister, thinking, this God of this covenant God of all these promises in the scripture, where are those promises, Lord? You might be sitting here feeling like, I don't see and experience these blessings. I get glimpses of it, but there's so much more that I know God wants to do. And you're sitting here this morning, you're thinking, I'm not experiencing the God of these covenants. I'm not experiencing these blessings and these promises. But the interesting thing about all these covenants in the past, that it has always had to do with man's obedience to obeying some law to experience and receive the blessings of the covenant and of the promises. Enter Jesus. And Jesus' covenant is dependent on His obedience in fulfilling God's plan and call on His life for us to experience the blessings and the promises of the covenant. Our part of the covenant is obedience through faith and works of faith, not works of obeying some new law that we were never able to keep in the first place. As jy met my, hulle het meer as genoeg wette gehad, wat hulle nie kon nakom nie. It was the simple ones, just the basics. Let's just start, not even the Ten Commandments. Let's simplify it even further. Let's, and I say this respectfully, let's dumb it down for disobedient people like me. Like 10, is te moeilik om te onthou. How many of you remember all 10 commandments now? Don't raise your hand. So let's simplify it. Let's just make it 2. I can manage 2. Can anybody else manage 2 here? I can manage 2. Love God. Love people. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and your neighbor as yourself. You can take the other 10. You can take 10 and put it into those 2 categories. The first 4 pertain to your relationship with God. The last 6 pertaining to your relationship with others. And our part of the covenant is simply by faith, believing God's part of the covenant and not obeying some law. They had those simple laws. They weren't obeying. They were then given more laws and ended up at, I think, 230 something, I don't know what. And their garments that they used to wear had little tassels hanging down with this 200 and plenty laws, well, each little tassel representing each one of the laws that they had to obey. And if they didn't obey one, they were guilty of all. Mense, kan jy sien waarheen gaan ons met die ding? That we cannot get the blessings of God, the promises that He wants for us, by obeying rules and regulations. En hy het geweet, daarom moes Jesus Christus gekom het en in ons plek gesterf het. He had to do it. He had to pay the price. He paid a price for a debt He didn't owe, because we owed a debt that we couldn't pay. It sounds so lekker, but is he waarheid? He had to come and say, right, you've had the law, you've had the prophets, you've had dreams, you've had visions, you've had angelic visitations, you've had it all. You've had sporadic outpourings of the Holy Spirit upon you, but you're still not getting the picture. I'm going to come and I'm going to do it myself. And Jesus, God incarnate, God in the flesh, walked amongst men and He fulfilled that covenant, a covenant. And in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, Jesus says this. Matthew 26, 28, can come up there. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And the most wonderful news that we could ever have heard, folks, is this. If you look at all, let's exclude the last two, the new and the everlasting. If you look at all other five major covenants in Scripture, all of those blessings, all of those promises, all the good news in all of those covenants are contained all in the fulfillment of Jesus Christ fulfilling this covenant. Folks, are you getting the picture? Are you getting the good news? You look at the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, all those covenants, like this lekker goed daar, so julle. I want those blessings, but you know what? God doesn't want us settling for those old school blessings and covenants. He wants, no, there's a new covenant. All of those promises, all of those blessings are wrapped up in this new covenant. And what is the new covenant? Speak to me. Bible school people, degreed people, I'm not knocking anybody this morning, but you've learned this. What is the new covenant? Who said that? Yasin. 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 It's not a question of what is the new covenant, it who is the new covenant. Jesus says, this is the blood of my covenant. Symbolic of the grape juice when we celebrate the sacrament of communion. He is the new covenant. Jesus Christ is the new covenant. My brother, my sister, you want to get at a place in 2024, the end of it, and beyond to 2025? Wie van julle voel gereed vir 2025? I'm not putting my hand up. Ek wees eerlik met julle. I'm still reeling from the consequences of 2025. And now 2024. And now 2025 is knocking on the door. You know? But this new covenant, you want to be a partaker of these covenant promises? There's certain things that need to be in place in our lives. It's like that embedded programming in that electronic component. It's there. If it's not going to work like that, it is not going to work in your life. That scripture verse, that's the foundation for this morning, is Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8. Let's, for a few minutes, as we close, and I'm starting to finish, and I'm going to finish on time. There's a few words that we need to look at. It says, put Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8 up again, please, gentlemen. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. That's the key. He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Folks, here's the key. He's the one who goes before you. So I'm going to put it like this. So there's God over here. There's Jesus here. There's the Holy Spirit amongst us in the world and He's omnipresent. But God has declared this covenant. In His mind, there's this embedded blessing that He wants us to live in and walk in. Now, because of Jesus bridging the gap, being the covenant, His blood being shed, that gap that was there caused by sin between mankind and God, Jesus has bridged the gap. So that's all taken care of. And the Holy Spirit is here working in our lives, speaking to us through dreams, visions, scriptures, fellowship, preachers, whoever, circumstances, nature, whatever, speaking. And there's this whole system that's going to work in place. And it works wonderfully when there's obedience. And then little old Mozzie comes along. And he decides, ach nee wat, ek gaan hierdie hele embedded technology ding, ek gaan dit maar bypass. So I'm going to skip the obedience to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to take my eyes off Jesus. I'm going to look at people and their opinions and the ways of the world and the trends in the world and what's the new flavor of the day. I'm going to look at that and then ask Him that I can still experience the blessings of God of the covenant. No. Where it says, He will go before you. Folks, you and I have to give Jesus Christ the pre, bless you sir, and health in your body there. Bless you, James. Speak health over that in Jesus' name. So what happens is, where was I before James blessed us? Yes, yeah. So when it says God will go before you, that means we have to give Jesus Christ the preeminence in everything. That's a fancy English word for meaning Jesus must be first always. Always. So folks, it's as simple as this. If you trust in God for these blessings and all these promises, Jesus has to be first in your life. He has to be first in your spirit. He has to be first in your soul, your mind. That you think of Him and His ways first. That which I'm doing, does it carry Jesus' stamp of approval? Is God okay with this? He has to be first in your temple, in your body. He has to be first with all your possessions, all you own. He has to be first with your habits, good or bad. He has to be first overall. He has to be first. He has to be first. He has to be first. So if we want to experience the blessings and we want to enter and stay part of this covenant, we serve a covenant God. The question is, are you a covenant man or a covenant woman? As I close this morning, one practical example, and then we can get the deep end to come up and lead us in a time of worship again. So, God is the God, precious Caitlin. The promises we make to God in the good times, He's going to expect us to keep in the bad times. So, when you're living the life, and everything is A-okay, yes, of the black bar, you just sing hallelujah, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and this is great. And we say certain things. We say certain things. And you make promises or commitments to God. And then it's great, it's wonderful. And then guess what happens? Life. The pawpaw hits the fan, the cabbage, the T-bone steak, alles treffie fan. Life happens. And then what? But God. But God. The promises you make to God in the bad times, He's going to expect you to keep in the good times. And it's difficult. Sometimes. Practical example in my life. I entered into a discussion, a heated debate with my Sani partner Etienne. And we were discussing who's the author and artist of a particular song. I had in my mind that it's that song, Pressure Down on Me. Da, 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 da. How many of you remember that song? Okay. And I was convinced it's Billy Joel. And he says, no, Moz, it's David Bowie and Queen, I think, or something. I don't know. And I'm like, no ways, but it's who did I say? Billy Joel. And he said, I'm telling you. He says, right, let's make a little bit of a wager, yeah, but. So I said, okay, we both sport shooters. And we both shoot 40 Smith & Wesson. This is a deer gun om te run. Die doppies is skaars, nee? En hulle is deer. So I said, I'll bet you 1,000 doppies. Precies, nee? Ek my hoogmoed met my groot wara wara back say it's Billy Joel, but I'll bet you 1,000 doppies, 1,000 40 Smith & Wesson cases that it's Billy Joel. Guess what? This didn't need Billy Joel me. And then, but wait, there's more. So, here I am now. I'm Kastig, this man of God. Now, the promises I make in the good times, I had to keep in the bad times. The bad time when I realized that, Mozzie, you chop. You were actually wrong. I had to say, Etienne, here's your 1,000 cleaned, polished, rinsed, shiny, beautiful Smith & Wesson 40 doppies. Cray for you. Because the promises you make to God in the good times, He's going to expect you to keep in the bad times. And if my name is only as good as my reputation, and my reputation is only as good as my word. And if I cannot keep my word in a simple thing like that, how am I going to keep covenant with a living God? How am I going to do that? And Psalm 15, the first three verses, David is speaking about the kind of people, the type of people that can enter into God's holy place, that can worship before Him. He describes the people. And verse 4 gives a very particular description. Psalm 15 and verse 4. Folks, put it up there. It says, speaks about these people do this and this and this. These are the people, just the background. These are the people that can worship before God. These are the people that can enter His holy place. Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. It hurt me, but I kept my promise. Hallelujah. And Etienne got the 1,000 dopies. And we laugh about it today. Church, how's your covenant with God looking this morning? If you're at a place in your life where you realize, Moz, I've made some promises to God in the good times and I just ain't been keeping them, you've come to the right place this morning. I'm like that. I've made resolutions in my mind and commitments in my heart that I'm going to love unconditionally. And then somebody falsely accuses me, and then I'm like, all puffed up, all offended, all hurt. What about those covenants I made to God? Lord, Jesus, I want to be like you. You love those who persecuted you, who reviled you. And when that happens, So you're sitting there this morning and you know what you know, because die Heilige Gees weet wat jy weet. Die Heilige Gees weet wat jy weet. En die Heilige Gees klaar omtrent almal van ons aan vanoggend sê, Lord, I want to repent of not keeping my covenant with you. So right there where you see the church, I want you to do business with God. You think about commitments that you've made to the Lord that you've not kept. But there's grace and forgiveness for that. He's a covenant God, and there's grace for that. But he's still a holy God and a righteous God. And you want to say this morning, Lord, I want you to forgive me of not being a covenant man or a covenant woman. I want you to forgive me, Jesus, for not being a man and woman of my word in simple things like, I'll do this for you, or I'll do that, or yes, I will be there. And then you just don't pitch. Lord, church, as you're praying, just be real with yourself and say, God, forgive me for lying. Forgive me for lying. Forgive me for being a liar. Have mercy upon me, Lord. Be gracious to me, Lord. Restore a heart of faithfulness in me, Lord. Give me a heart of integrity, Lord. Give me a heart of honor, Lord, in the name of Jesus. You're a covenant God. Help me to be a covenant man or woman in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that as I leave this place this morning, Holy Spirit, that you empower me, that you equip me, and that you enable me om te kan uitleef wat ek gehoor het vir oggend, Here. Laat het nie net oulike tekstversies is, maar en iets dieper as beginsels, laat het deel wees van wie ons is as mense, as gelowiges, as kinders van die Here. Mag ons wees mense van covenant, promise keepers. May we be at a place where we don't even have to say to somebody, I promise you, because they know. We just have to say yes, and it's yes, or no, and it's no. May we be men and women of integrity who keep our word to the praise and glory of your name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. And I want to give you an opportunity this morning, after the deep end has so graciously ministered to the Lord for us this morning, at the end of the song, if you've got a particular prayer request or a need, I want the altar workers just to make themselves available, care group leaders, their spouses, whoever, just that we have people available. If you want to pray with somebody concerning this thing in your life and say, look, I just need, luister, ons kan niemand fix nie, hoor. Ek kan niemand fix nie, ek het die antwoord vir jou nie, maar ek kan ten minste saam met jou bid. Dis wat ons kan doen. Where two or more agree on earth, and the scripture says, go to people, pray for one another, that God may bring healing. If you have an issue concerning this covenant thing that you want us to pray for specifically, please come meet us up in front straight away. We'd love to pray with you. Apart from that, have a Jesus-filled day further. Travel safely. God willing, we'll see each other same time, same place next week. Just a reminder, in case you are going away, travel safely. Remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. We don't celebrate the date. We celebrate Jesus. We don't celebrate the date. Dit niks met enigiets te doen nie, behalwe die pagan festival wat het is. We celebrate the person of Jesus.